Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Yeah, I certainly enjoyed the service this morning, and Brother Mayles brought us a good message. And tonight, we trust the Lord will meet with us and speak to us once again, as He promises to do when we're gathered in His name. There's lots of places I could have begun this message tonight. I chose 1 Kings chapter 11. It's not the text verse. We're going to turn to another verse here momentarily, but I want to just show you something here from 1 Kings chapter 11 to kind of as a backdrop maybe, or as just to set the stage, and then we'll go somewhere else. But let's go ahead and read these verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. I'll let you remain seated and I'll just read the text. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David, his father. Let's pray and we'll get started here. Father, thank you for your word. The most powerful book on this planet is the Word of God. And we're privileged and honored to possess a copy or many copies of it. We thank you that, as Brother Mayles reminded us this morning, that when the Scripture is preached, when it's taught, when it's revealed to others, it does things. And he reminded us that when we speak to the lost, they may laugh, they may discredit it, they may walk away and not accept it, but nonetheless, it will do a work in their heart. They will have conviction or something will take place, even if it's just anger. So we know that that's the power of your word. So we look to it this evening. We ask your power to be present here this evening. Father, I'm simply a human instrument. I want to be used in your hand. And we trust the Holy Spirit to do all the work this evening and teach us and instruct us and help us. We'll certainly thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We look back at this passage here. There's a couple interesting statements. It's repeated. One thing we see that's one particular word that's mentioned in this passage several times is the word heart. You may have picked up on that as we read. But let's come back here to verse 2 and see what God said about He didn't want the nations yoking up with these other nations for a reason. And He gives the reason in verse 2. He says, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them or to them, neither shall they come in unto you. And here's what he says. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. He says again in verse 3, at the end of verse 3, it says, and his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And of course, he concludes there with a contrast with his father David and how he was a man after God's own heart. So as I mentioned earlier, there's many places we could have started, I suppose, but I thought we'd start here because I want to talk to you tonight about the heart. And I see here that one of the reasons God will, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself already, I can tell, but God talks to us in the Bible about our hearts. And one of the reasons why I think, or I know, that He talks to us and addresses this issue of our heart is because He knows that our hearts can be so fickle. He knows that our hearts can be drawn away. I think of a song that the songwriter said, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I, what's the next word? Love. We say we love God, and yet our hearts are prone to wonder. And I believe God understood that and knew that, and He addresses the heart in many ways, in many many times in many ways in Scripture. But here we see that Solomon, his heart was turned away. Now I want us to turn now in our Bibles to the text verse, which is Proverbs 23. So we really won't look at Kings anymore. I just wanted to kind of make a backdrop there, if you please, kind of set the stage for what I want to talk about. Proverbs 23. And the title of the message tonight is this, A Divine Request. A Divine Request. In Proverbs 23, we'll come down to verse 26, and we shall see here the divine request, which we'll be talking about this evening. Chapter 23, verse 26, the Bible says, My son, say those next four words with me. Give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. Understanding that Solomon was writing to his own son, I understand that, but a secondary meaning we can see here, obviously all Scripture, is that God is speaking to His people. God's speaking to us. And I believe that God here this evening says to us through that passage, My son, my daughter, my child, give me thine heart. As we consider the word heart in Scripture, we would find that there are bad hearts and there are good hearts. There are bad hearts like a proud heart, like an idolatrous heart. These are phrases from Scripture. A heart that is turned away, as we saw from 1 Kings. We would see perhaps a hardened heart. We would see an embittered heart, a stubborn heart, an erroneous heart, a deceitful heart, a backslider in heart. On the other hand, there are good hearts. There's a clean heart. There's a heart to fear the Lord. There's a broken and contrite heart. There's a tender heart, a steadfast heart, a joyful or glad heart, a tranquil heart or peaceful, upright heart, or a heart that's after God's own heart, as we mentioned of David a moment ago. And so there's good hearts and there's bad hearts. However, tonight's message isn't about whether the heart is good or bad, but I want us to focus on this idea of a divine request when God says to us, Give me thine heart. Can you picture God holding his hand out maybe, saying, Give me your heart. I don't think He's, of course, maybe I'm reading into it. You know how we read the Bible, we see things through a certain lens, I suppose. But I don't feel like God is demanding with an angry face saying, Give it to me. I think he's being tender. I think he's being loving and saying, Son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Why do I think that? Because God is a loving God who knows what's best for us. And He knows that our heart in His hand is the very best thing for us. And so I believe that He says to us, give me your heart. What is our heart? As we consider this topic about the heart, you know, obviously when we talk about the heart in Scripture, it's not talking about this physical organ that's pumping in our hearts. We know that that is our heart, but in Scripture there's a spiritual heart. It's the Bible would describe it as the center of our being. We all know the value of our physical heart. We should anyway. As long as it's pumping, as long as it's beating, we're good, right? And if it should stop, life ends. We understand the importance of this physical organ we call the heart. It's central to our circulatory system as it pumps life-giving blood into every area of our bodies. And so we understand the importance of our physical heart. But our spiritual heart is just as important, if not more important. We must understand the importance of our spiritual heart. The word heart is found in our English Bible 823 times. And I have to confess, as I was preparing for this message, there was a point when I became overwhelmed. I just said, oh, there's so many verses about the heart, and trying to narrow it down and choose what verses to use with this message became very, very challenging and it was kind of overwhelming. But 823 times in Scripture, the word heart is used. And out of those 823 times, only a few of those references refer to our physical heart. All of the rest have to do with our spiritual hearts. In fact, heart is the most frequently used biblical term for man's complete, inner, immaterial nature. It's who we are. In Scripture, the Bible, when it talks about the heart, it's referring to the seat of our emotions. It's referring to our mind, our intellect, our understanding. It's referring to our will. It's all of those faculties, all of those areas that refer to the inner man. That's the heart. The heart is that part of us that controls our belief and our behavior. And in Scripture, it's referred to or described in different ways. For instance, it could be called the conscience. In Acts 2, verse 37, it talks about these people being pricked in their heart. It could be referred to as courage. In Joshua, it says the heart of the people did melt. Because lack of courage in that case. He also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion. In 2 Samuel, talks about that. It could be referred to as desire and affections. For instance, in Matthew, Jesus told us that where your heart, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Your affections. It could also refer to your emotions. These phrases from Scripture, their hearts were merry. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. A heart of joy or sorrow of heart. It could also be referred to as the inner man. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then 1 Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. It's also referred to as a place of faith, or lack thereof. One place in Scripture says that this individual doubted in his heart. There was no faith. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Romans 10. And then Hebrews talks about an evil heart of unbelief. So a place of faith. It could also be referred to concerning our standing with God. We could talk about a pure heart. Psalm 24. We could talk about when David said, create in me a clean heart. Psalm 51. I, the Lord, search the heart. And then Proverbs 26, talking about a wicked heart. It also could be, we could also refer to our thoughts. I found in Scripture that there's close relation to heart, mind, thoughts, and even soul. And some of those words are used interchangeably, but I do believe each has its own distinct meaning, because if you look at the Greek words for each of those, mind, soul, heart, will, they all have different words. But in some sense, they're interconnected and related. In fact, I'm preaching again on a Sunday morning here in a couple weeks in November. And I'll preach the sequel to this message. Tonight we're talking about the heart, but when I preach that Sunday morning, we're going to talk about thoughts, the mind and thoughts. And of course, those come out of where? The heart. Our thoughts come from the heart. But thoughts, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your heart?" Our hearts. And then a place in Mark chapter 2 says, reasoning in their hearts. So, thoughts. And then lastly, we could say it could be described in reference to our will, as I mentioned a moment ago, and how it's related to our will. Why is it that God makes this divine request? He says, "Son, give me thine heart." And in the rest of the time I say that, I probably won't say it like the Bible says it, not to be changing Scripture, but just to talk like we talk, I'll say "your." Give me your heart. And that's how I'll make reference to that in the message from here on out. Why does God say, "Give me your heart"? Give me your heart. I think one of the reasons we saw in 1 Kings, because our heart is so easily drawn away. Solomon, someone who followed God, began getting involved with other things, and God told him beforehand, he said, "Look, don't get involved with those nations because they're going to turn away your heart." And that's exactly what happened. And as Solomon interacted with those other groups of people, those which basically were pagan people, that his heart was turned away. Here's somebody who loves God, prone to leave the God I love. And his heart was turned. I think God tells us, "Give me your heart." I think that every single morning when my eyes open, when the alarm clock sounds and I'm reaching and finding it and trying to turn it off and knock it off the stand and falls on the floor and wakes up my wife. Don't make so much noise over there. I'm trying not to, but I couldn't find it. I think every single morning when my eyes open that God is there then saying, "Give me your heart. Give me your heart." You know, we talk about giving our heart to Jesus. We talk about asking Jesus into our heart. And I say those things. I'm not going to fuss about it. But I don't know that there's any place in Scripture really that says we should give our heart to Christ as a lost person. It tells us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and with our heart. But I don't think it's a one-time thing where we give our heart to the Lord and then say, "Okay, you got it now." No. I think every single day, it's almost like yielding to the Holy Spirit. Every single day, remember our Sunday school lesson on the Holy Spirit? Every day we must anew yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. Maybe several times a day we need to yield to the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. I think it's the same way with this matter of the heart. I think every single day we need to give our heart to Christ. Give our heart to God again. "Lord, I give you my heart." Because He gives us this divine request, "Son, give me your heart." Why do we need to give our heart? Why does God make this divine request? Why do we need to give our heart to God? Well, Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I think one of the reasons why that we need to give God our heart is because our hearts deceive us. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts can be wicked. Our hearts lead us astray. You know, the world tells us, just follow your heart, right? You know, that's probably the worst thing you could ever do, is to follow your heart. No, we should follow God and His promptings. And do what He asked us to do. But I believe that one of the reasons why we have to give our heart to God is because it's wicked. Our heart is wicked, and we need to give it to Him constantly. We're so prone to be drawn away, even though we say we love God. Listen, we find ourselves giving our affection to other things. I was reading another verse today from Colossians that said that we should set our affections on things above and not the things of the earth. Give our heart to God because we have heart problems. I believe that a lot of problems that we face as Christians are related to our heart. I keep doing this. I'm not talking about this physical heart, but I keep saying our heart. But it's not this heart, the physical heart. It's the heart of our inner man. But you know that. You see, when we can't get excited about the preaching, it's a heart problem. When we can't get excited about the things of God, it's a heart problem. When we're fussing with our spouse, it's a heart problem. When we don't want to read the Bible, it's a heart problem. When we don't want to pray, it's a heart problem. And God knows that, and He says, look, son, give me your heart. Many of the problems we face, it is a heart problem. That's it. Someone once said, I heard a preacher say this, he said, every problem in life is a spiritual problem. I think there's some truth in that. I would take it a step further. Every spiritual problem is a heart problem. We've heard this phrase that this person, you should get your heart what? Right with God, right? Get your heart right with God. And I think that God says, look, I know that you're going to have problems with affections. And it's interesting that we use this word heart. Because, humanly speaking, when we think of heart, we think of love. We talk about giving our heart to our spouse, maybe, or something like that. We think of the heart. We draw a heart. We put an arrow through it, and we think about love. And I think that's interesting because when God says, "Give me thine heart," He's really saying, "Give me all your love. Give me all your affection." Give me all your attention. And our God is a jealous God, and He wants us to give Him our heart. So I think that's why. Here's the other reason. The next thing is this. Not only why we should give our heart to God, but to what degree? Well, I'll just read these verses to you. No, let's turn to these. Let's use our Bibles a little bit. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6, first of all. Deuteronomy 6. Here's a verse that Jesus repeats in the New Testament. He quotes this verse. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God," how? With how much? "All thine heart, and all thy soul, and all thy might." But as we refer to the heart there, He says, "With all thy heart." All of it. What degree do we give God our heart when He says, "Hey, my son, give me your heart"? Not part of it, not half of it, not some of it. He says, "Give me all of it. All of your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Look over the same book, over at chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and then verse number 2. And again, there's so many verses, I just had to pick a few out here. But chapter 30, verse 2, "And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day, thy and thy children," and here it is, "with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And then will the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity." So we see the degree, not only why should we give the Lord our heart? Well, because our hearts are wicked, because our hearts are deceitful, because our hearts will lead us astray, because our hearts are prone to wander, because our hearts are prone to give our affections to other things and other people. God says, "Give me your heart." And again, I believe it's a daily thing, if not many times a day, but for sure, every day when we wake up, from our sleep, I believe God is waiting right there. "Son, give me your heart." And we should give Him our heart for that day. But not only that, to what degree? Well, we see in Scripture here that it should be all of our heart. Look at one more, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 10. Psalm 119, verse 10. The Bible says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander." There's that wandering. Let me not wander. Lord, if I want to give you my heart, not just give you my heart, not a piece of it, but all of it. If I give you all of my heart, help me not to wander. Help my love to be constant. Help me to give it all to you. And so we see this, the degree of giving our heart to the Lord is all of it. In the Bible, there's a place in Chronicles that talks about a divided heart or a double heart. And that's not what we're to do with God. We're not, you know, I wrote this down. Let me find it here. There's no way to give God part of your heart, because a half of heart will surely die. I can't give God half my heart and keep the other half for whatever else I want to have, whatever else I want to set my affections towards. I must give God all of my heart. All thine heart, he tells us. Give me your heart. And so, if you see me kind of looking back and forth there, I'm almost certain that I'm missing a page of notes. And it's causing me to be distracted. I'm not even in my regular flow of preaching here because I'm distracted by it. Caleb did say, "Dad, can I look at your notes?" I said, "Yeah, go ahead, but just don't get them out of order." No, I'm not going to blame him. I'm sure it's something that I've done. But we'll get through it. Amen. We'll get through it. So God says, "Son, give me your heart." This is a divine request from our loving God. Give me your heart. I think he says it in a kind, loving, fatherly way. Son, just like Solomon was probably saying to his earthly son. Son, give me your heart. I will teach you. I will instruct you. I will help you. I will lead you. I'll teach you how to be a man. I'll teach you. I have so much I can share with you and teach you as an older man, and you're my son. I can pass on things to you, but I need to have your heart. Give me your heart. Just like that, I think God says to us as his children, give me your heart. I want to protect you. I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to instruct you and teach you. I want to help you. I want to protect you. But in order to do all of those things, Brother Joe, I have to have your heart. Give me your heart. And then we found out, well, to what degree? Well, that's kind of a duh statement. We have to give God all of our heart. All of our heart. We can't divide our heart. We must give it all to Him. So we looked at why. We looked at to what degree, and then finally, I want us to just briefly talk about how. And I don't know that it's so easy to say, well, here's what you do, like Wikipedia or how to, or one of those things you find. Here's how you do it, step one, two, and three. I don't know if it's that easy. But in my research, I found this little statement I think is good. To render the heart to God is to give the understanding to know and to contemplate the divine perfections. So it's to give Him our understanding and how wonderful, great, perfect He is. The understanding is the leading faculty in the human soul. So if we give our understanding to God in the attempt to give Him our heart, and through our understanding we understand how perfect He is, how marvelous He is, how worthy of our adoration He is, then we're taking the right step towards giving Him our heart. The next thing said, to offer Him the will. Of course, the greatest illustration of giving God the will is Jesus Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane when He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Lord, have Your will in my life. You know, that those two things just go hand in hand. If I'm going to give God my... If God has my heart, then I will do His will. That just goes without saying. If I want to do God's will, though, I must first give Him my heart. And so, when He has my heart, when I've given Him my understanding to know Him and to contemplate His awesomeness, I'm taking a step towards giving Him my heart. Furthermore, I then give Him my will. Lord, have Your will in my life. Not what I want to do, what You want. Your will, Lord. And then thirdly, and this really gets to it, I think, is to surrender the affections to Him. The giving of the heart must be done in an entire dependence on divine aid. And it must be done promptly. It must be done cheerfully. It must be done entirely. It must be done perpetually. Because it's not a one-time thing. The affections. This is something that everyone in this room, including myself, struggle with. Giving our hearts to God. As I said earlier in the message, if we struggle with reading our Bibles, it's a heart issue. If we struggle with prayer, it's a heart issue. If we struggle to give, it's a heart issue. If we struggle with being kind with our brothers and sisters and doing the things that God tells us to do when it comes to relationships in the body, if we have trouble with that, it's a heart issue. It's no wonder, look at this verse with me, we're in Psalms, turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. It's no wonder that this verse exists for us. Another piece of good instructions, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And you'll recognize it right away. If you don't know the reference, you'll know it when you see it. Verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart is the instruction. The word keep is a military term. To stand guard, to be vigilant. At the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, those guys are awesome, aren't they? That is, I'd love to go there. I've not been there, but those guys are sharp, and they're walking back and forth all day long and doing their paces and guarding that tomb. And that's always what I picture when I read this verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence. We need to stand guard at our heart and be careful what comes in. Be careful who we give it to or what we give it to, because God knows that we're capable of giving our heart to someone or something rather than Him. And so we must guard with all diligence. That means putting a lot of effort into it, right? That means giving it all you've got. Keep your heart with all diligence. No wonder that instruction is there, because we're so prone to give our heart to other things or other people. It's not wrong to give for instance, my wife has my heart. I love my wife. I'm not like Solomon with 700 wives. I've got one. I only want one. And she's my wife, and I love her, and she has my heart. That's a little different sense, but God wants supremely, He wants my heart to give it to Him wholly. Wholly. The whole thing. And we do that by... And I've read those other things, but you know, it really comes down to the affections. We struggle with this, folks. I do. I'm sure you do. We get enamored with other things. We get caught up with other things. We give our affections to other things or other people. When God wants our heart. Giving Him our heart is the solution. You know, sometimes we call it cold-hearted. It's really backsliding, being backslidden. We get backslidden. What's the problem? It's a cold heart. Remember when Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, He said, you know what? You guys are lukewarm. They hadn't given their heart to God. What's it really boil down to? It boils down to, sometimes this word isn't accepted in our circles, but I'm going to use it, not in the wrong way, but hopefully you'll understand. But it's about lordship. It's about Jesus Christ being Lord of my life. And when if God says, Son, give me thine heart, and then I do give Him my heart, and I give it to Him completely, not half, not divided, not part of it. I give it all to Him. I give Him my affections, my understanding. Then, guess what? I begin to understand how He could be Lord of my life. He could be my Lord in every area of life. It's about who's in charge. Is Kelly Choma in charge or is God in charge? God desires for us to give Him our hearts, to give Him control of our very being. This is what it means for Him to be our Lord. He calls the shots. It's not our will. I think of that verse in Luke chapter 6 when Jesus said to them, "Why call ye me Lord, 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 and you do not the things that I say?" It's about Him becoming the Lord in our lives. It's about giving our hearts to God. It involves surrendering our will to His. It's about living for Him in obedience to His Word. Too many want to give Him lip service, but there's not much heart service. We always want to have a good talk and say the right things and talk about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, but do we really give God our heart? When He says, "Give me your heart," He wants our heart as a divine request. Matthew 15:8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips." You probably can finish the verse. "But their heart is far from me." What we need to do today, each of us, is to give our hearts to God. You say, "Well, I'm already saved." No, I'm not talking about that. In fact, I don't think lost people can give their heart to God. So God's not asking for their heart. He's talking to His people. "Son, give me your heart." Each of us in this room tonight, we must give our hearts to God. We must respond to the divine request. When God speaks to each of us, as He does through Scripture, "Son, daughter, give me your heart," our response ought to be, "Yes, Lord. I give you my heart the best I know how. I give you my understanding of who you are and how great you are. I give you my will, because this is all part of the heart. I give you my will. I don't want to do my own thing. I don't want to run the show. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to sit on the throne of my heart. I want you, your will, to be done in my life. And God, I give you my affections, my love. You're the apple of my eye." David said, "My heart panteth after God, as a heart panteth after the water brooks." God, I thirst to love you, to know you, to be with you. I give you my heart. When he makes that divine request, give me your heart. And so we give him our understanding, we give him our will, we give him our affections, we give him our love, and we make him Lord. Or I shouldn't say we make him, we allow him. Well, I don't even know if that's the right good theology. God does what he wants. He is Lord of our life. We're at the end of the message. What's the problem with your heart? Friend? Now you think with me. You say, yeah, Brother Kelly, I had a hard time reading the Bible this week. Heart problem. I had a hard time praying this week. Or maybe I didn't want to pray. Heart problem. I fussed with my husband and my wife this week. Heart problem. I just don't want to do what my boss tells me to do. I don't like him. Heart problem. I have trouble respecting the pastor. Heart problem. I have problems with any authority. Heart problem. I have trouble opening my mouth to tell another person about Jesus Christ. Heart problem. Do I need to go on? It's a heart problem. I feel dead and lifeless and listless in the services of Grace Baptist Church. Heart problem! Heart problem. You know, Brother Joe and I were talking, I don't know about you, but man, that sermon this morning lit my fire. That was a good message. And I was on the edge of my seat, spiritually speaking, and man, I was enjoying it. And I got some things out of it, and God spoke to my heart about some things too. But if that didn't happen, you know what? I'd be saying to myself, heart problem. And I think preacher might have said it, but you know, you come into the church and you sit in the services and you listen to the preaching. We have the singing, all those things, and listen to the preaching, and then you walk out and nothing happened. I would be examining my heart if that were the case. It doesn't matter who's the preacher. If the Word of God is being proclaimed, it ought to be penetrating our hearts. And if it's not, heart problem. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time we could spend this evening.